Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com, and I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance because I think it'll help you. I really do. I hear that from you when you write in to tell me these things, and that's one of the ways I find out about how what we're doing is benefiting you, and I really appreciate those notes. And all of you who've been using our website and using the blog and listening to the archives and reading the articles and sending it to your friends and letting them know about that, we appreciate all that. That makes you part of our community, and we're glad you're part of us. Joe Glenn is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Joe is an award-winning business owner. He is the president and the owner of Glenn Metalcrafts, Incorporated, out of the beautiful downtown Princeton, Minnesota. And his company has been recognized by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce as one of the top seven small businesses in the country, soon to be recognized along with the other seven, and from which one small business of the year will be chosen in about 2 weeks or so in Washington, D.C. And I'm excited about introducing him to you. Joe Glenn, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Jim.
It's good to have you here, and congratulations. I am so proud of you.
Thank you. It's quite an honor.
I'm proud of your employees, too, because you couldn't have done it, right, without them.
That's exactly true. This recognition is as much a result of their hard work as it is mine.
Your story is one of the great American stories, Joe. Your grandfather founded the company. Tell us about that story.
Back in 1947, my grandfather actually started the company with a partner, and they were primarily in tool and die work and
extrusion and die casting, things like that.
Well, most of it, they were actually building tools for their customer base.
Right.
A lot of it was stamp tooling that was used in presses.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And did that for a couple of decades. And in the early 70s, they were in Northeast Minneapolis at the time. A gentleman across the street was being displaced by the expansion of the road, and he had a lathe in his basement, basically, doing some hand spinning and had a few accounts. And he actually approached my grandfather and my father to see if they'd be interested in buying the lathe, and he would teach them how to metal spin.
Metal spin. Now, tell us what metal spinning is.
Metal spinning is a chipless process of forming metal. It's done in a lathe, and as the tool or mandrel is spinning in the lathe, a roller presses the material against the tool. And to compare it to anything which...
The tool being the end product.
No, the tool is what is used to form the material and create
like
a shape.
Like in a wood lathe, it'd be like a gouge. Is that right?
Actually, it would be more like the male portion of a die that is forming material. And
okay.
To compare it to anything, the metal flows a lot like clay almost for a potter.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference being is that we're actually forming it over a tool to control the shape, the diameters, and hold tolerances.
All right. And so metal spinning, metal spinning intuitively sounds like you're making wire, but actually you're basically using a lathe to shape a piece of metal into a form that's useful.
Correct.
Yeah. And so that's a pretty sophisticated process, though, isn't it?
It is. We started with manual processes in metal spinning, which basically a guy has a roller and a lever that is pressing the material against the tool, and we've migrated in the last 10 years to all CNC metal spinning now.
Mm-hmm. How long did you go in the transition from die casts and all that to from a machine shop to doing the metal spinning?
It basically evolved throughout the 70s, and by the late 70s, we were primarily doing metal spinning and very little tool and die work.
Now, the tool and die industry has gotten really internationally competitive, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
A lot of tool and die companies haven't made it in the United States in the new marketplace, have they?
They have not, and it's evidence. I mean, we've got our customer base consists of Deere and Case and a lot of large OEMs, and they've got programs to assist their vendors in procuring tools overseas.
So you're this little road movement that displaced the guy who introduced your grandfather to metal spinning was actually in the long term was fortuitous, wasn't it?
Very much so.
Because your industry is not as impacted by overseas. Tell us why.
Well, a lot of it has to do with there's two different metal spinning company models in the United States right now. One is primarily focused on the manual spinning still, which is geared more towards prototyping and low-volume runs.
Creation of something that has never existed before, not production.
Correct.
Right.
And it's a very cost-effective vehicle to prototype product before a large investment is made in dies for stamping
right.
for high production run.
Do you guys still do some of that?
We have one gentleman left doing it with some legacy accounts, I guess.
These are lost arts, aren't they?
Very much so.
Yeah.
And then you've got the ones that have invested heavily in technology, like ourselves, in the CNC equipment, which automates the process and increases throughput to probably by 500 to 1,000%. And is holding tolerances, we've got product that we're holding tolerances of plus or minus 1,000th on.
Wow. What would you say has been the key to your success as the 21st century has dawned on what is really a 20th century industry?
I think about 6 years ago, we hired a gentleman by the name of Joe Roberts. He's our vice president. And he and I together have spent a lot of time on the business plan and doing a lot of research on the industry and oversee pressures to see what kind of niche we could fill or create in the metal spinning industry to try and protect ourselves and set ourselves apart.
So you became, instead of reacting to the changes, you became a product of the changes, didn't you?
Yes, we did.
And folks, that's a very important lesson. What Joe just said is so important. Instead of hunkering down and saying, you know, this is the way we've always done it, you know, these other people are, it'll never last, and blaming them, becoming a victim and reacting to what was happening, Joe and his organization became a product of what was happening, and they managed the change. That's a very important lesson. We're going to get him to tell us some more of what he's learned right after these messages. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. Back is 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and having a great visit with award-winning small business owner Joe Glenn, the president and one of the owners of Glenn Metalcraft Incorporated out of beautiful downtown Princeton, Minnesota. And we're talking about some of the things that he's learned, he and his company have learned over the years, and some of the changes they've made, some of the things that they've had to adapt to. And one of the things, Joe, and by the way, folks, the Glenn Metalcraft Incorporated business is one of the seven top small businesses that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce have chosen. And as to be recognized, and one of which one of those seven will be chosen as the Small Business Person of the Year in about 2 weeks in Washington D.C. And I'll be there, and I'm looking forward to that. I'll be broadcasting from that event too, by the way, so folks, so you'll be able to keep up with that. Joe, your industry, I call it a 20th century industry, but it's almost it really has its origins in the 19th century, doesn't it?
It goes back thousands of years, actually.
Okay, good. and the thing, I guess the point I was making is, you can't have an industry like that without having to go through lots of changes.
That's very much correct. And metal spinning, because it is more of a niche market than say machining, there's a lot less R&D dollars spent on it, and it has evolved a lot more slowly than say, machining. Machines and equipment are much more expensive because there just isn't the customer base for it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the controls and the software and everything hasn't evolved. And that's been one of the issues that we've struggled with is getting the equipment on a par with our needs. And most of the equipment that we've been buying has been from a German company, and the next one that's coming in is actually a California company that is engineering, designing, and currently building our next machine that is coming in June of this year. And they have really eradicated a lot of the issues that we've had with our existing equipment to help us with a lot of the efficiencies that we put in place. And
quality control, that sort of thing?
Well, a lot of it has to do with running multiple shifts and having key personnel able to keep the machine spitting out parts, so to speak.
Right.
And when that isn't doing that, it's not paying for itself.
Give us an example of what of a part. What, how would an average person, would they be able to recognize a part that you make?
Yes, they would. One of the moves that we've made recently is into the ag and construction industry wheel business, and we don't have a line of wheels, but we're manufacturing wheel centers for wheel manufacturers.
So you don't make the wheel, you make the wheel roll around it, right? Is that what you're saying?
Well, we make the center portion that the rim is actually attached to. The center portion has the pilot hole and the bolt pattern for bolting the wheel on.
Right. Right.
And, you know, John Deere front-end loaders and things like that have right. our wheel centers on them.
Back to the changes, though. You have 30-something employees right now, right?
Correct.
You had more than that at one time. What caused you to get smaller?
The downturn in manufacturing, as well as focusing on the business plan we had set forth 6 years ago, to migrate towards more efficient processes.
Which is to say technology.
Utilizing technology. And that was primarily focusing in the CNC metal spinning.
What is CNC?
CNC is it basically mirrors the hand spinning, except for it's controlled by a computer.
Right.
And reproduces part after part after part. So right now we've got operators that load blanks and unload finished parts.
Mm-hmm. Instead of cutting the part themselves. Would you say that without technology that you would not be in business anymore?
I would confidently say that we would not be here today had we not made that decision.
I have been saying for a while now, all this century, and actually before the century came into being, Joe, that for small businesses in the future, they need to, when they think about growing, they need to think about technology first and then hire the people to support that technology. Whereas in the 20th century, in the 19th century, you hired people and bought technology tools for them to work with.
Correct.
Now it's the other way around. Would you agree or disagree with that?
I would agree with that.
And if you hadn't followed that, you wouldn't be around right now, would you?
We would not.
The business wouldn't be. Yeah. And when I say that, Joe, I get the feeling that people think that I'm being abrupt or I'm being rude or I'm being inhuman or whatever. It's the reality, isn't it?
It is the reality, and along with that investment in technology, the technology is only a small piece of it. It takes a lot of highly skilled and dedicated employees to utilize it efficiently.
You got a website, Joe?
Yes, we do. It's www.glenmetalcraft.com.
All right, folks. What is the Joe? I've got about 40 seconds. What's the key to your success? Would you say in the 21st century?
I think the key has been to be as forward-thinking as possible with a business plan and planning rather than reacting to the market changes, mm-hmm. as well as investing heavily in our employee base. And getting them the skills and tools they need to be successful, because we have a very flat organization here.
Mm.
And everybody's responsible for their area.
Right. That's very well said, Joe. And I can see why you were chosen to be one of the top 7 small business persons of the year. Joe, you're one of my heroes, and I am very proud of you and your whole organization.
Thank you, Jim, and thank you for having me.
Congratulate everybody and give And I'll see you in about 2 weeks.
Look forward to it.
Quick break, right back with our friend Gwendolyn Galsworth. And we're going to have a lot of fun when Gwen joins us. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.